I gotta ask you this. How did you get into theater? Because you performed on both sides of the theater mask.
Yeah, well, I've been, ever since I was a kid, you know, I was been doing comedy and acting up, you know, kind of. I can remember just being in, like, school plays. And the first thing I ever did that I knew I wanted to do comedy was I was dressed as a sparrow in grade two or something, and I had this stupid papier-mâché outfit. I was dressed like a bird, and I was supposed to fly down the stage and then go into the other room. And as I was doing that, I'm very small, and I'm going down, flying down. I get to the door, but the door's locked, right? So somebody didn't open the door.
Oh!
So I'm in this stupid blue papier-mâché sparrow outfit, and I'm slamming myself against the door like I'm trying to break the door down. The crowd started laughing. Right?
Oh, so my God. So that
then
was
I was
your,
hooked. Yeah,
your
from
first
that point
laugh?
On. So,
oh, that's so funny.
So I've been doing live shows and stuff like that.
Ever since?
So, yeah, yeah. So
you were in Crap's Last Tape and also Waiting for Godot.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Crap's Last Tape, so that's a fabulous role. Who were you in Godot?
That was good. I was Vladimir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who did you do these for?
Well, we produced that with Illustrated Man. There was the three of us, Illustrated Man. It's Adrian Truss, Dave Huban, and I. And
I remember
we had
those
a young
guys.
Guy that played the boy in it. But there was just the three of us, and you're supposed to have four people in it.
Yeah.
Godot is very, you know, the Beckett family is very particular about doing their play absolutely right. But
did you have Pozzo?
We took turns playing Lucky, you know, because Lucky is,
yeah.
So we all took turns doing that. Put the hat on, played Lucky, so it was like there was three of us doing a four-person role, and it was great. We had an awesome show, and people had thought it was a great take on it, but of course, the Beckett family probably wouldn't have let us know, do it if we told them what we did, because we had, like, Lucky coming out, strapped to a rope, and he just kept going, so it was Adrian in a rope, and he kept going, and then he comes out the other side. Adrian goes and changes, and he comes out the other side. So Lucky's off the stage,
yeah.
Right? And the rope is still there. He's there, right? So,
oh wow!
So we did a sort of a clever take on it.
Also saw you in the Danish play.
Oh, you did
with Kate Henning.
That's
this
right.
is Nightwood Theater. So how did you get involved with this?
Well, I know a lot of those people. Kelly Thornton was a student of mine when I was teaching improvisation for almost 30 years at Second City. So Kelly, I knew Kelly, and a lot of these other actors are still acting, and she's now the artistic director there.
Right.
She asked me to play that part, and. Yeah, I just loved doing that job.
That was
a great job.
That was a great play. Actually, I did a piece on Sonia Mills, a playwright.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great playwright.
Incredible.
And we did another play with her called The Bird. The Birds. Or no, The Bird. It wasn't as successful as the other one, but it was very rich as well. She's a really good writer.
Was that for Nightwood?
That was for... We did it at Buddy's, but it wasn't Nightwood. No, not that one.
Okay. I think I asked you where you got your start. What did you do to get into Second City? Do you remember your audition?
Yeah, I didn't really know much about Second City, because I'm from Calgary, Alberta. So
yeah, I know.
I studied, improv with Keith Johnstone out there, and for Loose Moose Theatre. I was one of those group of people. And so when I came out to Toronto, I came out to study mime and mask and movement.
Right.
And I met a bunch of people in that world, too, a whole different group of people. But when I came back, I went back to Calgary, and then I came back here, and in that time, Second City was sort of up and going for a while, and I had no idea what it was, right? So I showed up, and there was a whole bunch of people. The kids in the hall were there, Bruce McCullough.
Yep.
They were all auditioning, trying to get in.
Yes, of course.
And I didn't know anything about it, so it was a company with, I guess, Myers was in that company. Mike Myers was in the touring company at that time,
yep.
And Sandra Bolkowski, and I think Linda Cash came in later.
Bob
yep. Bainbro was yep. in it, and there's a whole bunch of Christopher Ward was in it. Christopher Ward used
from
to be
City TV.
Yeah,
Christopher Ward.
Yeah, he was in the touring company as well. So there was a whole bunch of people like that. So.
Oh God, I didn't know he was. That makes sense now that I think about it.
So I auditioned. So I wasn't really nervous because I didn't really know much about it, right? I probably would have been more nervous knowing what I know now. But so I went in, and the audition was you had to it was like an old way of doing it. They'd have you come out and come back in as, and there was a TV repairman thing. They wanted you to come in as a TV repairman, and the other actor would improvise with you.
Right.
So I went out and I went, okay, what could I do as a TV repairman? So I thought, okay, this would be different. So I came out and I came in as a blind TV repairman who basically could fix your TV by feeling it, you know. So he was always asking her to tell me what the colors look like and is this too, you know. So it was just this. What would not be the thing, right? What would you not have as a TV repairman? So I thought blind TV repairman. So they really liked that, and I got
it. That's
in.
All you got in? Yeah. I wanted to ask that question.
And then I was there for years teaching, so.
Yeah, and that's how you met Jennifer. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. She was a student there. I'd come out there, and, you know, she was pretty young at the time. And,
and then you, okay, you met Jennifer, and you also have Real Space Theater.
That's right.
So... And this is kind of to create theater in unconventional spaces.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first time you've done Diner, but this isn't the first time you've done this kind of work.
No, we originally did it. Well, originally what I did was we couldn't get into the Fringe, and you know when you're in the Fringes, you've got to apply, and then they got to pull your name out of a hat. It's
kind of weird.
Some people never get into the Fringe, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's for me, it was just an extra thing to do, and we never, you know, I always had a hard time getting in, so. Me and another friend of mine, she couldn't get into the Fringe, so I said, but there is a bring-your-own venue, you know, where you can go and talk to somebody and bring your own venue and do a show there. So I thought, okay, screw it. I'm going to write my own show in my own venue, and I thought, what am I going to do? So I rented a van, and I wrote a show called The Getaway, and it's two actors. One's an actor, and one's somebody who's met this actor, and, you know, and he just likes her, and he wants to, you know, do whatever. So he goes along with this little plan, and they decided that they're gonna rip money off from the Fringe. So the play starts in the Fringe, and there's a van there, and people buy tickets, and we only have six seats, right? You know, and so we take these six people hostage, right? So we drive around with them hostage, and she's insane. She's a clown, kind of insane, and he's going along with it. You know, he's basically put a nose on, and he's tried to steal the money from the Fringe, but then they find, of course, it's just flyers. It's not a package of money, right? So, and they've taken all these people hostage, and the police show up and strip search him on the front of the van while she's singing Kumbaya, you know. So it's just this crazy ride that we take around, and very snappy dialogue, very much like this, you know, like, because he doesn't know who she is, really. He's discovering that she's, like, kind of insane.
Which
right?
is,
like,
that's what, know? When theater happens, is when all of a sudden something happens unexpected, and oh my God, that's real theater, what do we do now?
Screeching around corners in the car and yelling it, so people are in the car as we're driving around, and we stop at a Tim Hortons at one point, and she takes half the people in the van and goes inside and does a whole routine in there. She's got a whole trying to shop for wedding presents at a Tim Hortons, and I'm trying to convince the other people to not call the police, you know. So
that is great. It's daring, it's risque.
So we've done other things like that. We did another one at the Queen's Tennis Club, which is a private tennis club, and that was called The Rise and Fall of Caméléon, which is like a spy thing that took place in the 60s. And there's people, we're playing tennis on the tennis court, and they can hear what we're saying in the lounge. So we used all the environment to do this show, right? So, and it was all, so that kind of thing, we liked it. So I look at environments and then decide what the story is about, you know? So
that's amazing. And then you did Diner at St. George's Diner.
Yeah, that was the original place we did.
What gave you the idea? Where'd you get idea for Diner from? Like, the whole concept?
Well, the woman that owns the place, named Ash Farrelly, this very funny Irish lady, I would go there and have lunch a lot, and I was telling her that I have this company called Real Space. And she said jokingly, well, you should do a show here. And I sat in the booth, and I just looked at the windows, and all I could see was zombies hitting the window. So that's like... So once that image came to me, then I wrote the play around that. Like, why is that happening? You know what I mean? That I kind of wrote it backwards, and then, and so that's what happened with that show.
It's kind of like
so. She inspired me to write a show in there. So that's what I wrote.
It's very slapstick. It's very satirical. You actually make fun of all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, acting and everything else.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, no, there's lots of levels of.
There's all different levels of jokes. That's what makes it so amazing. What do you think it is about this play that people love so much?
Well, I don't know. You know, like, I realized later that it's actually a romantic comedy. You know, like, I didn't really think about that. All I was thinking about was the zombies. And then, you know, so I'm trying to figure out how does that work. Well, it's obviously a relationship thing. And then the more you think about it, you're like, oh, you can hear people actually going, aww.
You know, I know, like, they actually do.
For these people, and which is really great. So I think it's also because, well, zombies are hot anyway. I wasn't even thinking about that, really. I saw that image, and then you realize how popular they are. You know, zombie walks everywhere and stuff. So it's kind of, the timing is right. It might be part of the collective consciousness. I don't know. But,
well, Walking Dead and all this
Walking
kind of stuff.
Walking Dead and all that kind of stuff. And I like to make fun of things, too. You know, so it's kind of... it works pretty good.
It's very funny. There's lots of sexual innuendo in it and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I don't want to give it away. Right. I have a couple of silly questions.
So what?
Silly questions.
Okay, good. All right.
If you could play a Shakespearean character,
character.
Who would it be?
Well, I think everybody wants to play Hamlet.
know, okay.
Somebody who's crazy. The crazy ones. Well, they're all crazy or power hungry.
Yep.
But I think Hamlet would be like the really, because we did do a takeoff of that at Second City, and I always loved playing. You know?
He's always a guy. I look at Hamlet as a guy who just can't make up his mind.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Can't make up his mind. He's all screwed up with his mother and his dad.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's just like me.
Okay, I used to watch Puppets Who Kill.
Yes.
And Kids in the Hall.
Right.
What's the wildest episodes you remember of either show?
Well, I wasn't in Kids in the Hall. I used to direct all of their live shows before they actually got onto TV, right?
Yeah.
So I would direct their shows. Surprisingly, they never actually hired me for their show.
Is there a line where they went too far ever? I mean, I asked Graham Chapman from Monty Python the same question. Was there ever a line that
they went too far? Well, in Puppets Who Kill, which was always, they were always pushing the line in Puppets Who Kill.
Yes,
one of the funniest
things,
well, they had nuns giving hand jobs at one point, for people that are dying, you know, they were for their last wishes. But I remember one of the ones is there was an, I think she was about 86 years old, and the bear, the puppet who's actually the bear Cuddles, there's Rocco, which is my character. Buttons the bear, who has two different eyes, but he's always getting action, right? He's always getting
women.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
yeah,
he's having sex with an 86-year-old woman, and at one point she's on the bed. I remember, and she's got her hands up on the bed rail, and he's having sex with her, and you see a close up of her face. And later on, she says to me, "That was the most fun I've had in a long time." Like, that was, and I was like, "Oh right," because Buttons was this little bear is having sex with this woman, with this 86-year-old woman.
I remember Buttons, and some of the actors in Stratford have done Puppets Who Kill.
Yeah.
Over the years, Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Do you know Sharon Matthews?
I don't. I only know, you know, when I got on that set, I was actually surprised to see some of the people that were on it at the, you know, because I'm shooting this one scene where I'm the guy that's the math guy
that reads
out the questions, and Tina Fey was there, and so I had a nice long talk with her. She's also a Second City alumni, right?
Yes,
so we're actually both in the same book. Like, we both have excerpts in the same book about improv. So we had a little talks, but she's very sweet. And Lindsay Lohan, nobody could even get close to her, right? She had a whole entourage around her, you know, it was just sort of leading her from place to place. Well, Tina Fey sat over there, who wrote the movie.
He's
basically, you know, the brilliant mind behind it, is just sort of sitting there watching the event. So it was like nobody really, it seemed like nobody knew that this was the this is the really funny one.
Canadian Bacon, I still like this film.
Yeah, that was actually really fun. I got to meet John Candy. I'd met John Candy before at Second City alumni.
Yeah, because he's another alumni.
But to see him walk onto set, that's something I'll never forget, is to see him go on set and see all the crew look at him and love him like kids. They all turned like into kids. They had these big smiles, joyous smiles on their face when they saw him. And he was one of those people that he entered the room and everybody just... was just, he sparkled, you know. He was one of those guys that was just so sweet, and you know, I remember that. And Michael Moore directed it, and he was very sweet to me. I liked him very much.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
I still love that movie. And Good Will Hunting is,
there's another one that I lucked out in being. And there's a funny story about in the scene, you know, I'm sitting in the scene where I'm doing the NSA thing. I'm the NSA guy that's saying, you know, why should you come work for the NSA?
Yeah, exactly.
And there was Gus Van Sant was there in the room, and it was in this tiny, it was just a one, they didn't even have lights in there. They just lit it through the wall. If you see it, I'm kind of in a shadow, you know, because it's all the light from the window that's basically in. What's his name who was in it? Not Ben, but the...
Matt.
Matt's after the thing, because I didn't know who Matt was. I mean, this is early
days.
Yeah,
I mean, they just started.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids.
I mean, this was the movie that basically started. Well, after our scene, he said to me, "That was really great." And I said, "Thanks, kid." Like, thanks, kid. Right? To Matt Damon, right? But he was kind of a kid at the time. I didn't know who he was.
Well, they were just starting out.
They were just starting out, but he was very sweet.
Nobody
and
knew they were.
Very nice guy, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You got upcoming things. I wanted to ask you about the Rainbow Kid. This looks
really
Rainbow
interesting. Yeah, Rainbow Kid. Yeah, that's it's a very challenging movie because the guy that got it. I mean, the kid that's in it is
has Down syndrome, yeah.
And but he was really great. Like he, you know, and those kind of things like where you want to, you know, expand. You know, you want to give people chances and do that kind of stuff. I mean, they're no different than anybody else. Usually, people try to hide those people away as opposed to celebrate them, and you know what I mean. And so the kid was great, and the movies, you know, it's pretty horrible sometimes. You know what I mean? Like when you see what happens at some point. But no, I liked working on it. There was we were way out there at some point. It took like 2 hours to get there and 2 hours to get back. But you know, I don't know where it was, at some farm out there where we did our scene. But it was just nasty. Me and Tony Napo, basically.
Yeah.
Partners.
You also have. You're also in another Canadian short. It's a drama called An Apartment. Are you?
Oh yeah, that's right. We did that. It was at the It was at the TIFF festival. Yeah, and it was funny because it was a movie about an older guy, you know, about my age, who is trying to get an apartment or trying to get a job so he can pay for an apartment. That's kind of the whole story. But when I was doing it, I was kind of broke, right? So I'm doing this movie, and I'm realizing, because it was a tip project, which means that they get a certain deal for actors.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this movie, and it's funny that in the 5 days that I worked on the movie, I didn't even make enough money to pay for my apartment. So here I am playing a guy who has to get a job to pay for his apartment. Here I am as an actor who has a job, and he doesn't even make enough money to pay for his apartment. I thought that was kind of ironic, you know. It was very funny. But that movie it's a very sad realization, you know, about older people, and you know, especially you get to a certain age, and you know.
Yeah, and sometimes things
you're redundant now.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like how do I reinvent myself?
Yeah, and I'm kind of going through that in my own life. You know what I mean?
Actually,
a movie about it.
It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. But I also just did 12 Monkeys, which is this new TV show. Based on the movie 12 Monkeys, they're doing a TV show now.
A Canadian drama?
It is a dramatic film, yeah. It's
CTV? CBC?
I think it's a co-pro. I'm not sure who's actually showing it, but it's basically that Bruce Willis, Brad Pitt movie that they're now turning into a series.
So. Who else is in this with you?
Well, they're mostly up-and-coming actors. You know, they don't have any big stars. At least I don't know who the other actors are.
Canadian actors. Like, Canadian drama. I used to write for Take One magazine, and Canadian dramas. I interviewed George F. Walker on the set of This Is Wonderland. That was a great freaking show. God, like they get rid of all.
Of course, really good shows.
Republic of Doyle, you know, all these we have.
Well, that lasted quite a few seasons,
it
though,
did.
So that's okay. You know,
we have great writers in Canada.
Oh yeah.
Who is your favorite writer, and what makes you laugh?
Well,
what
I mean,
to you is funny.
You know, I love Woody Allen because he's witty. You know, like he's sharp and witty, and you know, and I like that kind of dialogue. I mean, like that's like in this play, like every second or third line is a joke.
It's a snappy little.
So I get off on that kind of comedy. You know, I really like witty, funny dialogue. You know, other than that, I mean, I can't think of any particular writers that I would go. You know, you think of movies like genres of movies. You know, like Raising Arizona. The Coen brothers.
All-time favorite.
Those kind of things are just, you know, they're different. I like movies that are a bit different, you know. I'm putting together, I've written a movie called Road Back, which is going to have Colin Mochrie and Peter Callahan and Deb McGrath.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got all these people, but I'm trying to get investors for it because it's this very funny film. And it's very much like this, too. It's a couple that have been divorced And but they have to get back together to go pick up their kid from camp because something happened. So they have to get together. So in the road, on the road trip to go
they're
get them.
They're stuck together.
Yeah, they get stuck, but they lose their car. They, you know what I mean? They ended up at a nudist colony. You know, it's like them trying to, you know, try to get to their son, you know. And so it's a really funny story. So I'm, there's this movie that I wrote that I'm trying to make happen. You know?
I hope that
difficult.
Works.
Yeah, me too. It's
I had
hard
a,
to make things happen.
An observation about Die Hard. The audience isn't a typical theater audience, is it?
No, that's the audience I'm looking for. I don't want... that's why I want to do real space theater, because I don't want to do it in theaters, because only theater people go to theaters. You know, I want to do something where someone goes, hey, have you seen the show at the so-and-so? I'm going to check it out just to see what it's like. You know, because we have a show that takes place on a roof that we're working on called Fallen Angel, and we have another one that I wrote called Dog Wash, which takes place in a
car
wash. Yeah, it's a Reservoir Dogs takeoff.
It's
a parody of Reservoir Dogs. So
how's that written down?
Yeah, that one's finished. That one's all written, and I'm marrying sort of the British, you know, the guys those criminals.
Like
Tarantino's
like
criminals.
Snatch, and
yeah, exactly.
Those guys.
So I mixed those two kind of criminal elements together to tell the similar story to Reservoir Dogs. It all takes place in a car wash, you know.
That is great.
Like in Tarantino, they show up, you know, there's all the backstory, but you see them, you know, where he's been shot, and, you know, so that's how this thing eventually starts in a diner, starts in the George Street Diner, right, where you see these two different characters, and then they move over to the car wash across the street, and that's where all the action happens.
Oh, man.
All the gunplay and everything else. And
that is great. I have one last question. Yeah. What do you want audiences to take away with them with Diner?
Well, I just enjoying themselves, having a good night, like, you know, realizing they can go and see something really fun and to tell their friends and don't give away the surprises. But
don't give away the surprises.
Yeah, the surprises. But to just have a good time. Yeah, because most people, you know, they go to theater, they go, I don't do theater, you know. So I want to get people that don't see those kind of things.
You want people to go to the theater that don't go, this is for
don't
people
theater,
that don't,
yeah, they don't go
to
theater.
Theater.
Yeah, because it's looking in a box. You know, I want it to be around them, you know. I want it to be them to feel the experience.
And the audience was like, that table I was sitting at tonight, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I know.
That's great.
People are a bit uncertain when they come in. I love that. It puts them a bit on the edge. So.
As I do a radio show, do you have a favorite song that I can play for you? Because I ask everybody this, so I should ask you
right.
this, too.
Jeez. I'd like anything by Michael Franti. Do you have any Michael Franti?
I don't, but I can find some.
Can you?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I can.
I was listening to him today on the radio, so that's what's in my mind right now.
All right.
Thank
so much, Bruce.
Much.
I really appreciate this.
Thanks
this
for coming.
Awesome.
Tell me why the grass was greener. Years ago, I swear it used to grow here, but no more here. Tell me why on this hill all the birds they used to come to fly here, come to die here. And tell me why I need to know. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to know. Always show me. Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, I won't give up on you. Just believe in me like I believe in you. Corner, all the kids that used to come to run here, load their guns here. And tell me why it's okay to kill in the name of the gods we pray. Tell me who said it's okay to die in the name of the lies we say. Tell me why there's child soldiers. Tell me why they close the borders. Tell me how to fight disease. And tell me now to be in the arms of someone who believes in me, like I believe in you. And I say, hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, I won't give up. And I try for you. Don't give up on me. And I cry for you. Just believe in me like I believe. Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day? Hey world, what you say? Should I stick around for another day or two? Don't give up on me, won't give up on you. Just believe in me like I believe in you. Don't give up on me. Hey world, what you say? Hey world, what you say?